Councilmember Higginbotham?
Here.
Councilmember Natoli?
I think I'm here.
And for the record, Councilmember Rabinault is at a meeting down south. Thank you.
Okay, the Reverend Dr. Paul Jones will do our invocation. Please stand and remain standing, and he'll lead us in the salute.
Will you bow your heart with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts today before you, expressing our sincere appreciation that we were born citizens of this country, the greatest country on the face of the earth, the United States of America. As free men and women, we as America face many problems nationally and internationally. Some among us would insist that the only cure for the problems of our society is to dispossess and disown many of the freedoms that we, along with such past leaders as Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and Patrick Henry, believe as we do these to be inalienable gifts from God. Such persons among us are unconcerned and unresponsive about our Bill of Rights. But today we remember that many courageous Americans who have come before us, we remember the sacrifices they have made, the hardships they have endured, and the blood that they have shed in order to preserve and to protect the freedoms that we enjoy today. Let us never forget that the red, white, and blue in our flag stands for valor, for purity, and for vigilance. So stir up in each of us today a renewed desire to do your will. For with such comes the power and the honor and the authority that you grant to us. Holy Scripture teaches us if we give obedience to your ways to work in us and to transform us, you will cause our cities to spread out with prosperity and to overflow with abundance. So we boldly affirm our nation's motto today, in God we trust. It is in this spirit that we pray this invocation. In heartfelt humility, we implore your protection and your favor. We invoke your infinite wisdom to be graciously bestowed upon each of our city council. The problems our city faces are known by our city council, but more importantly, they are known by you, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. We have no presentations this evening, and now is the time for public comment. This is the time for anyone in the public to comment about items not on the agenda. And I guess we have somebody stepping right up to the
one comment.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, Brian Kriowski, 1435 Shell Beach Road in Shell Beach. I wanted to announce to the council the occurrence of a second meeting of the Shell Beach Improvement Group, and we wanted to let the community know and also the council know that we have good synergy, a positive group of people. The membership is open, and the attendance has been open to members of the community in general, business, residential, tenant. It's a positive group looking to look for positive solutions to improvement in Shell Beach. I wanted to announce our next meeting. That will be Tuesday, June 28th, right here in the City Council Chambers, 760 Maddie Road in beautiful Shell Beach. So we wanted to invite everyone out. We have organizational structure developing, and we are prioritizing goals, short-term, long-term, and permanent goals. As a point of interest, though, and I believe one of our members will be speaking to the issue later on, we note that you're dealing with important budgetary issues, and we noted today that there are no capital improvement projects planned for Shell Beach. So we want to work with the council, and we want to develop positive inroads to developing projects that can enhance the community and Pismo Beach. Thank you.
And also, I didn't hear what time that meeting was.
Oh, I apologize. Thank you very much. 1 o'clock, and that will conclude at 3:30. 1 o'clock and conclude at 3:30. That's Tuesday, June 28th, 760 Maddie Road here in Shell Beach. You can reach someone for some more information at 773-5661. That's at my office, the Shell Beach Law Group. We'll be happy to take your call, and you can leave a message there as well if you'd like some more information. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. I have a card here from Don Day.
Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council, stop grinning. I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate the council on their decision. I would like to say that I was wrong, although my concerns, I think, were valid. I'd much rather be wrong under those circumstances and you right than the other way around. So I commend you for the decision you made. It was the right decision. It was a hard decision, and fortunately, it worked out well. And hopefully I won't have to get on my knees and go further. This was for the car show.
Oh.
Anybody else like me to humble myself a little more? In talking to the business community, it was probably the best ever. The largest crowd, the most professionally run.
Yes.
All of the downtown merchants that I've spoken to have indicated that it was the best day, the longest. It started earlier. They were still going on at 4 o'clock on Sunday. So they drew it out further. They gave the public or the businesses more time to deal with the public. I think a special thanks needs to be given to our Public Works Department, our Police Department, and our Fire Department, especially the Fire Department, served food, worked the booths, mm-hmm. and also responded on call. I think some of those guys worked 24 hours a day there. But they did an outstanding job, and I think the community at large, the city staff needs to be commended for their efforts. They were there all of the time. They were hardworking. They always had a smile on their face, and I think a lot of that was reflected in the way that the participants reacted. It was clean. The town was clean. So I think they're to be commended. Again, it was probably the best ever. I've not heard anything negative. God, this is really hurting.
Keep going.
Mary Ann has not missed an opportunity since the car show to make sure that I was going to show up today. So I had to assure her that I would. As an aside, though, seriously, we had a meeting on the 15th with Caltrans at the Roses, and we talked about the freeway, and one of the things that happened on Saturday was that there was so much traffic backing into the freeway, they closed down the Price Street. And they used the Hines Street off-ramp as an alternative, which if Caltrans had their way, it wouldn't have been available in the future. It would have been one of...
They have very high trees blocking the view. Anyway, we bought our house in 1985 and wanted a house with a view of the ocean. The neighbors on Coral Court also bought for a view of the ocean and the mountains. The developer of their homes promised that our houses wouldn't ever be built. When our houses were built, some of the Coral Court neighbors planted large trees as a vindictive measure. Now, after 20 years, we have trees that block our ocean view. The height of these redwood trees is about 60 feet, 65 feet high, and a pine tree that is 75 feet high by 50 foot wide. In our backyard, we have a cement culvert that was installed when the surf houses were built. This culvert runs down the entire length of all the surf street houses and is used to eliminate flooding during heavy rains. 4 feet from the culvert and in the neighbor's yard are these very large 65-foot redwood trees. The roots from these trees have gone under the culvert and lifted up the cement portions of them. The roots from these trees have also gone under the culvert and sent large roots into our backyards and possibly under our house foundations. On the north side of my backyard, we get very little sunlight because of the redwood trees that I must constantly trim. Enclosed are pictures taken of the trees and a rough sketch of the trees and the location. I request that Pismo City Council adopt a 25-foot tree height limit ordinance. My neighbor next door is suffering from this also. She lives at 161 Surf Street. She's on vacation now, or she would be here, I know, because she had large roots in her backyard and the culvert was broken. And also, the man at 171 Surf Street, his name is Lauren C-H-I-R-I-C-A. He has culverts broken from these redwood trees. So I hope and pray that the council will consider doing something about this. And I've got some pictures of the area. Oh, thank you very much. And I'll present them to the council upstairs, and you can kind of get an idea of what I've taken and a rough plan of the place. But anyway, I thank you very much for listening to an old man.
Okay, can we hang on to these then,
yes,
and return them,
yes,
to you later?
Yes.
And we'll turn this over to the Public Works Director and have him look at this.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I have a card from Elizabeth Osborne.
I'm Elizabeth Osborne, and I live at 350 Main Street. And my concern is over the number of vacation rentals in Pismo Beach proper. I've lived in Pismo Beach since 1991, but I've lived in San Luis or Santa Barbara County all my life. I attended Cal Poly, graduated from there, and I'm currently employed as a high school teacher and have been a teacher for over 20 years. About 5 years ago, I should have purchased a house on Castaic Street in Shell Beach, but I missed my chance. But I'm not willing to move from Pismo Beach because I like it so much. So I am content to be a renter in order to remain in the community. My concern is that the number of vacation rentals, one company alone has over 100 in Pismo Beach, 8 in Shell Beach, and I'm worried that, like my friends, 3 of whom have been evicted in the last 7 months so that their landlord could turn their home or apartment into a vacation rental. Another friend of mine, also a teacher, neither she and her husband are unable to afford a home in the area as well, but still want to remain. Their house is currently being sold, and they're looking for a place to live. So I would encourage the city council to formulate an ordinance somewhat similar possibly to Cambria, so that more people who want to live in this area, professional people such as myself, who can't afford a few-day basis, they don't go to PTA meetings, they don't send their kids to local schools, they don't volunteer to coach soccer or Little League, and they don't have a big buy-in to the community. They come for vacation. It's a beautiful place, but I would encourage the council to think about year-round Pismo Beach and Shell Beach residents as equally as important as the TOT dollars that the visitors bring in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to encourage you to come to a meeting that we're having on July 14th. Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, and I just want to remind everyone that you have 3 minutes for public comment, and try to stay within that if you can. The next card I have is Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, I'm Art Anthony. I live on Coral Court, and I do not have any tall trees. I did have, but the bugs got it. Our computer's been acting just like Elaine and I have for the last year, and not feeling too well, but it recently came back to life and gave me an email the other day from an old friend of mine that had within it, I don't know what he's been doing, but he must have been thinking a lot, and I wanted to share 4 little homilies from that with all of you. Talk is cheap because supply exceeds demand. Brain cells come and brain cells go, but fat cells live forever. Life not only begins at 40, it also begins to show. It's frustrating when you know all the answers, but nobody bothers to ask you the questions. That's all of that. I wanted to share with you an experience that Elaine and I had on Sunday after a delightful brunch at the Cliffs. I decided to drive over to Avila and look around because I knew I couldn't get anywhere in Pismo. The car show was still going on, and I'd been there the day before anyway. So I went over to Avila and looked around. I was very, very impressed. If you have not looked at Avila lately, please do so. They are making great strides. There are probably, conservatively, 400, 500 motel rooms under construction right now, downtown, close to the Custom House. They've done the county did and with the Unical money on making the thing look more attractive. On Sunday, when we had a full bag of people here in Pismo still, they were full, too. I don't think it was the same people. My scientific analysis of license plate frames showed people from everywhere, just like we had here. They're going to be a serious competitor for us very soon. And I hope you will all, I'm sure that Susan and all of our CVB experts realize this, but we should take a very close look at it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next card I have is Harker Wade.
Harker Wade, 2121 Price Street, the Tides Motel. My problem is the trash pickup times. They seem to be quite early for a resort community. Just this last holiday weekend, I believe Saturday morning, they started at the Seacrest next door at and Marie Calder's at 6:15 a.m. And that resounding clang of steel really kind of raises you right out of the bed rather quickly. Then the next morning it was 6:30 a.m. I wonder if maybe those times could be moved to 8 o'clock. It might encourage more guests, visitors to come back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tony Hyman.
No, I'm not going to read everything that's in here.
You're scaring me.
Tony Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive, Shell Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council, and everybody here, and all the folks at home, I really want to do three things real quickly. First off, I want to compliment everybody involved in the car show. We went all 3 days. We were merchant sponsors. Got to give out one of our little plaques, you got the best car and all of that. And everything that I have heard from merchants in Shell Beach area said they were greatly impacted and that it was a wonderful weekend for them as well as a result of the car show. Everybody was really delighted. Number two, you just got an invitation to go visit something. I'm going to suggest you go visit the Dinosaur Caves Amphitheater project, which is being built by the Rotary. They are doing a fabulous job, and the Rotary deserves a big hand for the effort that they've put in. The project's coming along wonderfully, and I encourage you to go look at it. It's really nice watching this rise out of the proverbial weeds. And last, I want to, again, I seem to be repeating everybody else, but I want to echo something that Brian said, and that's I want to let everybody know that we've been building, and next week, I mean, these things involve everything from drainage and trash cans and traffic enforcement and bringing new business into Shell Beach and trees and underground wiring and bringing in more local events. We're dealing with a lot of activities. And folks, if you've got an opinion, we invite members of the council. Bill Rabinow has been very good. He's been coming to meetings. He missed today, but he's been there before. We invite members of the council and the public at large, because what's going on next week is going to set the priorities for the next couple of years. So please, I really want to encourage you. That's 1 week from today, right in this room, 1 o'clock. And as they say on TV, come on down, because we want to hear from you if you have any ideas as to how Northern Pismo Beach, otherwise known as Shell, can be improved. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tony. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to the City Council about items not on the agenda?
Yes, my name is Paul Jones.
941 Schaefer Lane. I'm a member of the Pismo Beach Rotary Club and a past president. I'd like just to report that a month from today, that project is scheduled to be completed, and we've raised $100,000 cash to take care of it, and we're pleased that the public is taking note. It's an honor.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of Council. Rebecca McMurray, Pismo Beach Chamber. I would just like to echo the things that have been said already about the car show this weekend. We've gotten very positive feedback from all of the downtown businesses and Price Street businesses about this year's car show. And I would also like to extend a huge thank you to the Public Works, the police, and fire for all of their hard work. I was stopped by several people at the gym on Monday morning with compliments of how great the town looked after having so many people there downtown, and so people are taking notice and really appreciate that work that the Public Works and the police and fire are doing, so thanks to them. Don Day ran out of time and forgot to read a comment that was given to him, so on behalf of Mary Kasinek, owner of the Sports Forum, she says, "My name is Mary Kasinek. I own and operate the Sports Forum located at 231 Pomeroy in the Bailey Building. I have owned my business since 1990. All of that time I have spent at my present location. I and my employees have been present at all of the subsequent car shows. I would like to take a moment to congratulate the present promoter on a wonderful job. I, as well as my clients, commented over and over about how well the show was put on. The events at the pier, the loudspeaker set up around town, and the organization of the show. I would just like to say, great job." So, great job. And one final comment. Tomorrow afternoon at the South County Regional Center from 4:30 to 7:30 is the annual business showcase, which showcases businesses from all over South County. That's Pismo Beach, Royal Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano. Admission is free. Again, it's 4:30 to 7:30, and I would encourage everyone to come out and see what kinds of businesses are available and services and products that are available there. It's at the South County Regional Center. Okay. Thank you
very much, Rebecca. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on the agenda?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of Council, Tony Spinelli. I, too, would like to echo all the comments that were made, especially Don Day's, much to my chagrin. But I have to tell you that it was a very special event that came on this weekend. Very professionally run. I thought the speakers along the avenues was a great addition. As far as Public Works, big kudos. I had mentioned a few years back to the past promoter that after attending the Long Beach Grand Prix, how clean they kept it during the event. And it's very important to see how Mr. Garrett and his crew had people roaming the streets sweeping. I also like to thank the fire and police. They were very much in light going around town. One thing that I would like to bring up, though, as a suggestion, is there was a couple of comments made about city employees not having, or not city employees, but the store employees not having a place to park. And I think that we might take a look at maybe utilizing the Portuguese ground with a shuttle service that runs every 10-15 minutes into the town to get these employees to work, because I know it's quite a feat to try to find a parking place, and I understand that there was a couple of employees' cars that were towed that morning. So I think we need to have some great concern about the people at work too. So thank you very much, and once again, kudos to everybody.
Thank you very much, Tony. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to the City Council about an item not on the agenda? Hi.
Hi, you guys. I'm Karen Grinsick, and I live at 369 Santa Fe, Shell Beach. Thank you for the opportunity so we could get the phone up and running, which is not an easy task on the January 1 holiday. Thank God we did, and thank God a wonderful young woman found her running down the middle of Shell Beach Road as fast as her little legs would carry her. She'd made it all the way to the freeway on-ramp before someone stopped to pick her up. She was cold and wet and absolutely terrified. I'm afraid that if we don't begin to vigorously enforce our no fireworks ordinance, we may wind up with our own Mardi Gras problem. It is cheaper to stop the problem now than it will be once it gains momentum. I'm not asking you to change any laws. I'm strictly asking that we enforce the ones that are currently on the books. thank you for hearing a concerned mother's plea.
Thank you, Karen. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak to the City Council regarding items not on the agenda?
Rick Rensick, Mayor, fellow council people, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Tony, happy birthday. This is good. I would also like to reiterate what my wife just said. over the last few years, we've seen a significant problem in the village portion of Shell Beach. It's literally turned into a war zone. And it isn't just 4th of July. It starts about July 2nd. I, too, am also just requesting that the City Council just have the police and fire follow the ordinances that are in place. I have, for days on end, literally had to hold my dog just shaking in my arms, and it might not be like a child, but it is when you see that kind of stress that's going through a dog. And I know that our dogs are not the only ones that suffer that kind of issue. So as a result, I would like to just reiterate what my wife just said. I think that there is a couple of movie lines that seem to follow. You know, Houston, we have a problem. I think that we do have a definite problem, and I really want people to start enforcing that if I could. It's taken 2-3 years or so for this problem to escalate to the point that it is. I don't expect us to solve it in a year. It'll probably take us 2-4 years to get it back in line. When I started on the fire department in the late 70s here, we spent a great deal of time absconding illegal fireworks. And whether it's legal or illegal fireworks, I really, really ask you to do that. The other line is from a movie that I wasn't all that impressed with, but I did like the line, and that is from the movie Alien, and that is, I don't know if anybody's keeping score, but we're getting our butt kicked. And Shell Beach is getting really kicked hard. It has turned into Party Central, and the fireworks are out of control, and I ask that you rein it back and vigorously enforce the laws, whether it's ticketing or whatever it takes. Thank you very much for your
time.
Thank you.
I'm sure staff has overheard this, and we'll probably look into it. Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Tony Hyman, Shell Beach. I'd like to reiterate those comments of the last few days. We monitor dinosaur caves very carefully. We had 3,000 people there 2 years ago. We had just under 3,000 people at dinosaur caves last year. And what that means is those people are sneaking in an awful lot of fireworks, and they're shooting them off, and they're shooting off some substantial, huge, expensive fireworks. And frankly, they're... I don't know any other way to say it, but they are not enforcing those rules. And I understand and I appreciate. I'm an ex-fireman. I was a fireman back in the 60s. And I can appreciate how difficult the job is for the police, because all of Pismo Beach is a nightmare on the 4th of July. But if we have to bring in some reserves or whatever, I really encourage that, because somebody's going to end up getting hurt. And it's not just the pets, but it's property. We've got rockets and stuff firing over houses in Shell Beach, all going into midnight. And so I really do want to encourage that. The enforcement of the rules.
Thank you, Tony. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to the City Council about items not on the agenda? Seeing none, I'll come back to the Council. This is the time for City Council comments and requests. Does anyone have anything they'd like to speak about?
Councilman Tully. Thank you, words. I don't want to echo everybody's words that were already said about the car show, but I'm going to be humble. A few years back, when I started to mention the fact that we should look around for other promoters and see what we can do to improve our car show, BIG ran me through a ringer. They wanted to hang me up by my toes because I even suggested it. So I just want everybody that was in that meeting at that time, I will accept any apologies that they have to give. So, but they did put on a tremendous show, and all the comments that we've got back were all positive.
Special Olympics. I mean, we have so many nonprofits that are struggling right now, And I think people would feel good about paying for parking or pay a little extra. And then if the property owner could set aside 20%, 25% to a designated nonprofit, I think that would be great. So if anyone would like to talk to me about that, I would be available after the council meeting. attended the lifeguard, junior lifeguard intro meeting last night. It was very well run, and I was so happy to see that maybe half the people in attendance were new, so I think that's really a positive sign for the lifeguard program. I'm excited. My kids are counting down the days. And then I have one request to staff, and I believe it'll require a resolution. When we changed the policy and introduced the law to elect our mayor, we didn't incorporate a pay raise in that. And I know it's always a touchy subject because we're public servants, but the demands of the mayor far surpass oftentimes the demands of council. And I think that there should be some sort of recognition of that financially. And I'm not running for mayor, so. but I really do. I see how hard Mayor Reese works, and I know the extra time that's involved. And so I would encourage, see if staff could look at that. I'm not sure how to request that, but I think it's a good idea. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll vote for that now. I know that. Thank you very much.
You work so hard.
Mayor Pro Tem. I wanted to mention the car show. I mean, I know you haven't heard much about the car show. It was just great. My husband and I walked all downtown. It was, I think, at 9 in the morning. There was probably more people there than I'd seen at any car show over the last maybe 6 years or so. So they were out early. And I think the announcements, announcing all the business community, go buy your sunglasses here, and you know, naming names, and it was great. They had 50s music. Everyone, I think I was approached by at least half of the business community that said how great this year was for them and how busy they were. Wonderful problems that they had, lines outside of their businesses. So I'm thrilled about that. And then on Sunday, I believe it was, after the car show, my husband and I drove near the ocean in his little 52 MG, and we saw a group of people gathering over one of the bluffs, and so we pulled over, and I asked someone what was going on. They said there was two persons that had lost their kayaks, that a big wave came, knocked them out of it, and shortly after we were there, CDF drove up. I was so amazed with the speed, how they responded. The lifeguards, two young men in a truck, that lifeguards got out, got boards, got into the water, strong swimmers, and rescued those people. I stood and watched the whole rescue. It was unbelievable. I was so very proud of the lifeguards and CDF. It was just wonderful. And the 41-year-old man and his 20-year-old son were out there for a while, and they got them on a boat that took them over to Port San Luis. So thank you so much. It was great to have a team that works so rapidly. And then also I wanted to pull item 4G. Okay. Well, I too am going to say I was really, really pleased with what happened with the car show. And I have to compliment Public Works also. I will say that one of the things that several of the business people and the community people pointed out to me, look at the trash cans. None of them are overflowing, and they were very tickled about that, and so was I. The town looked really clean, so it was very nice. But it was very successful. I was very happy, and we really enjoyed our cruise in our cars. I had a 1940 Lincoln, black Lincoln convertible. It was beautiful. My family enjoyed it. My grandchildren were with me. And I want to thank the fire department for the meals that they served. I think my family had most of their meals there this weekend. And I hope they did well for their burn center. And I, too, wanted to compliment the fire department about the rescue and the police department for over the weekend, all the good work that was done, so, and all the staff that worked so hard. Appreciate it very much. Okay, now we're at the consent agenda. Is there any other items that anyone wants to pull? And I noticed we lost a councilman. Doesn't feel very well. Okay. Sorry to hear that.
Proposal to replace the unfilled management analyst position, which has been budgeted in the previous two-year budgets and is proposed in the upcoming budget, to replace that position, in other words, delete it, and instead institute the position of a human resources officer for the city of Pismo Beach, and with an appropriate job description and pay range for that human resources officer position, and then, of course, to authorize the staff to go ahead and hire against it. If I could explain a little bit of the past in this. Up until 1995, the city did have a human resources officer, but in 1995, because of budget cuts, that position was eliminated. Subsequently, the city manager, Mr. Mike Fuson, back in June of 2001, proposed that a management analyst position be created to help him both with the budget and with human resources kind of types of duties, and those would be normally recruiting, disciplinary measures, performance evaluations, compliance measures that are all required under federal and state law for human resources. So Mr. Fuson requested that position back in June of 2001. It was included in the fiscal year 03 budget, and I say that position being a management analyst position, and that position has never been hired against. It has never been filled. It wasn't, and it was not when I came on board. I am not recommending to you that we continue that position. I am strongly recommending that we institute a new position of human resources officer for this city. We are currently right now the only city of the seven cities in San Luis Obispo County that does not have a human resources position. I would note, having said that, I would note that Morro Bay has, because of the hiring regulations that they're currently under, and because of the financial problems that they're encountering, that they have a person now. They've allowed the human resources person to retire, and they are moving that to an additional duty for another person. So I want to make sure that you're aware of that. What I'm proposing is a human resources officer whose some of the duties at that position would include would be compliance. Compliance with federal and state laws, which constantly are changing in the field of human resources. For example, there's training that's required under federal and state law and in a number of areas, and we need to keep up with that training. And currently, we don't have a good system for doing that. Secondly, it would improve this position, if you approve it, would improve internal personnel management to include measures such as I previously mentioned, recruiting, training, discipline, and obviously, when needed, termination procedures for employees. It would include a really systematic approach to performance evaluation, which presently we lack. This employee, if you decide to authorize it, would be a confidential employee that could also, in future years, be the designated labor negotiator for the city in future negotiations with the unions. As you're well aware, this year we're hiring a person from outside, Mr. John Dunn, to be our chief labor negotiator. This is typical kind of duty that a human resources officer handles for cities. Additionally, risk management would be a field that a human resources officer normally handles and this position would handle. There's a number of OSHA reporting requirements that we as a city are required to meet, and the human resources officer would take that on. The position would also involve compliance with PERS contract requirements. And as I think the council is aware, we're actually trying now, finishing up, catching up with PERS contract requirements actually from 4 years ago. If we had a human resources officer on board, and I compliment Mr. Eads for, and Ms. Deborah Garcia actually for finding out that we needed to update these, but if we had a human resources officer here in this city, I would venture to say that probably 3.5 years ago we would have been bringing some of these to your attention. The pay range that we're proposing for this job, a little bit less than $6,000 more than what's already been budgeted. I guess in summary, I would say to you that I do strongly feel that this would make our city staff better. It would bring us into compliance with a lot of federal and state regulations that right now, to be honest with you, sometimes it's hit or miss. We would ensure that we're in total compliance to all the laws and regulations as they change. And I think it would make us a better city and a better staff. I'm here to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Does the council have any questions or comments before I go to the public?
Mm-hmm. I don't, Madam Mayor.
Okay, I have one card from Art Anthony, I think.
Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, Art Anthony, Coral Court. I cannot improve on the staff report that George Eads, Director of Administrative Services, gave you. It's an excellent report. Answered all of my questions. I would like to add a comment that through the years I have observed city managers struggling, that's the only good word, with personnel matters while they tried to keep all of the other balls in the air. And it has not been a pretty sight. It's not only Mr. Fusen, who worked at it very hard, but all the way back to the early 90s, Rick Kirkwood and others. We will have a better city if Kevin Rice is able to devote more time to the other many jobs that we all give him as a city manager. I think you should approve of this request.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. Does the council have any further comment or questions?
Just, I think the staff report was very well done, and I didn't see any negatives. And in my short tenure here, I haven't seen Mr. Rice make any unnecessary requests or frivolous ideas. In fact, he's been very cautious about our budget, and so I'm in complete support of this position. Thank you.
Tom, do you have any comment?
I have a question and a couple of comments. Firstly, previous councils, I think the last 2 years, they weren't in favor and they did not approve the management analyst position. But that's somewhat different than a human resources officer. So I just wanted everyone to know that the past councils had voted that down because that was a position the council felt the city didn't need at that time. However, a human resources officer, I think just for one thing alone, to keep this city in compliance with all the regulations, if it was none other than that. And personnel matters. They're correct in that our city manager is very busy. You can just imagine how often he meets with just this council on a weekly basis. How much time just this council takes up meeting with him about what the constituents call us on. Just that alone. So I think this is, it's very justified in having a human resources. And it says a lot that we're the only city in San Luis Obispo County that does not have a human resources position. I think it's very important for any business, not only the city, any business to have performance evaluations. So I think that's important for the staff. The one question I had of Mr. Rice was on page 5, item 6. It says that this person, this position, would represent the city in meetings, conferences, and workshops. I just wanted some clarification on that, Mr. Rice.
Yes, ma'am. An example of that would be is very often, maybe about once a quarter, there's a one-day seminar that's held by, for example, Liebert Casting Whitmore, which is a law firm. And this these conferences sometimes are in San Luis Obispo. They're one day, or sometimes in Ventura. And they're about changes in the laws. These laws are constantly changing, state and federal law. And so she would represent the city at these, basically to make sure that we're getting all the latest information, that we're complying, everything from new recruiting practices, laws that govern that, termination procedures, how CalPERS affects our employees, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted everyone to realize that the representation was regarding human resource activities only. For replacing the management analyst position with that of the human resource officer and adopt a resolution approving the job description and pay range and approving filling this human resources office position as well.
Okay, thank you. I'll second.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-Gee?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 3-0-2.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Now, it is now 5:30, so we'll go back to the public hearing item. Mr. City Manager, would you like to introduce that item?
Madam Mayor and Council, the public hearing today is to allow property owners to protest the declaration of their properties as non-compliant for weed and rubbish abatement. And previously, Rob Lewin came before Council and talked to you about our annual program for weed abatement. It's actually fire prevention. I'd like to ask Chief Turner here, Chief Harkness, to come forward and explain where we are in this. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael Harkness, Battalion Chief. Mr. Rice of Dispatch and Engine Company to check on the welfare, as you asked. And Councilwoman Gonzalez-Gee, thank you very much for your compliments. I was at the scene also and was very proud of the firefighters and lifeguards as well, so I appreciate your comment and your support. April and May can be a very busy time at the fire department. This year we were putting together the budget. We were preparing for the car show, and we're in the process of hiring lifeguards and junior lifeguard instructors in addition to our weed abatement program. So we asked for a little help from our folks over at CDF County Fire Prevention Bureau, and they loaned us Jane Schmitz, out of the who's currently assigned in the Prevention Bureau, to come manage the program for us this year. She's done an outstanding job. She also helped out with it last year. So what I'd like to do is introduce Jane Schmitz, and she'll tell you where we're currently at and the actions to take tonight.
Thank you.
Mayor, City Council members, Jane Schmitz, the fire inspector for CDF. I'd like to give you a quick overview of what we've done. The process of weed abatement, we send out notices with the water bills, and then we also do a first inspection in June. That would be in the end of May that we do the first inspection so that we can get the first offenders and let them know that they need to cut their weeds by June 1st. The second inspection happens on June 1st.
And would you mind putting the mic closer to your... Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The second inspection happens June 1st, which is the first inspection that we go for the protest hearings. And then we ask them to cut their lots within 2 weeks, and if they haven't, our city weed abatement contractor will cut them and go to assessment. Essentially, we're in the protest hearing here. I'd just like to let you know that we have some new technology that we're using this year. It's called the ARCPAD program. Pismo Beach purchased it for us, as well as a PDA that goes with that. It also has a GPS unit. Essentially, it allows you to see these maps here on a handheld computer, and then also have a GPS unit tell you exactly where you're next to each lot. And as you go along, you can go double-click on each lot and let us know that the lots need weed abatement. This reduces the amount of staff time that we have in the field, as well as the turnover rate that we can get the letters out to the homeowners, essentially speeding it up, reducing costs for the city. We can also use those documents to mail merge our letters and get those to the people who need them. It also improves our accuracy. Sometimes we do have, in the past, we've had lots that were identified incorrectly, and this year we have no lots that are identified incorrectly. The city contractor has been out cutting lots. He's cut all the city lots so far. And just to let you know, the administrative fee that we charge for those lots that are citizen-owned, the private lots are actually charged an administrative fee, and that administrative fee actually pays for the cutting of the city lots.
That's nice.
Just to let you know.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Just to let you know, the item before you is the protest hearing to allow the property owners to protest the declaration of their property being identified as non-compliant for weed abatement. At this point, we have no protests, and the action set before you were to approve the appeal, deny the appeal, or direct staff to do more research. At this point, we have no protests.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does the City Council have any comments or questions before we let her
So how do they
go?
Protest again?
How would they protest? They would either send in a letter or show up at this hearing here.
Oh, tonight.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We might ask if we have anybody.
Okay. Do we have anybody?
I was going to open the public hearing and see if there was any protests. I will do that.
Thank you.
Jump out.
Okay, I couldn't tell if it was or not.
Hello?
Is it working?
Hello?
Yep, okay. Okay, this is the time that we'll be convening as the Public Financing Authority and the Public Facilities Corporation Board, along with the City Council, as a joint meeting. Mr. City Manager, could you introduce this item?
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6B is a series of resolutions dealing with the City Council's budget for the upcoming two fiscal years. I'd like to ask our Director of Admin Services and Director of Finance, Mr. George Eads, to come forward and give you an introduction to these.
Thank you, Mr. Rice, Madam Mayor, Council. This item, we'll start with item 6B, which is resolutions of the City of Pismo Beach adopting biannual budgets for fiscal years July 1st, 2005 through June 30th, 2007. These will be the two fiscal years we'll call FY06 and FY07. And here we've been through most recently hearings last week, two hearings on June 14th and 15th, public hearings. Have been preceded by prior presentations and public hearings earlier this year. And the recommendation here is that the City Council approve the resolutions for the biannual budget, which has a schedule of appropriations and revenue statements, including the capital improvement program on it. And so that's the first series of resolutions. The budget resolution for the City of Pismo Beach, the budget resolution for the Public Financing Authority, and the budget resolution for the Public Facilities Corporation.
Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the council and see if they have any questions or comments of the staff on this item.
I have none at this time, Madam Mayor.
Okay, I will open this up to the public, and I do have a couple cards here. One is Art Anthony.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I am Art Anthony. I live on Coral Court. Honorable Council, you did good work last week in two budget sessions, and so did all your staff people. Public participation was only a gallant few, but the quality level was very high. I gave George Eads a clipping just before this meeting from a today's Los Angeles Times about what property tax increases are going to mean to the counties in this state. And it focused, of course, on Los Angeles County. Due to increased home and other property values in the hot economic climate we're in right now. This, of course, applies to us as well, and certainly to San Luis Obispo County. It made me wonder how the revenue projections in the 06 and 07 budgets that you are considering were arrived at, because the same principle applies to us as applies to the big boys and girls. Are our revenue projections too conservative? I don't know. I honestly don't know. What is too conservative? Or are they prudent, all things considered? Is it better to wait and see what happens in real life in case the bubble does burst, if there is such a thing? There's a lot of question about whether there is a bubble. This is to sit and think about this a little bit and make a recommendation to you about it before you get too far along. I'm not saying you should jigger the budget today. I don't think you should. But I think it's a consideration that is worthwhile considering. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I forgot one more.
Yes.
My red light's on. I wanted to support what Mary Lee's about to say to you. She gave me a copy of her written remarks, so I know what she's about to say. And I think this is something that is good for the city. I don't look at it as being good for Shell Beach because I don't live there. But if I did, or wherever I'd live in this city, I think it's a good thing for the city of Pismo Beach to do what they are proposing if it's feasible.
Thank you very much. Conservative to prudent in our budgeting. Okay, Mary Lee Hyman.
Are we on? Mary Lee Hyman. I have to speak loud. Okay, go ahead. Mary Lee Hyman, Shoreline Drive. Madam Mayor, members of the council, I'm here at the urging of the Shell Beach Community Improvement Group, who are working diligently on a master plan for Shell Beach. This group will be speaking for 47% of the households in Pismo Beach. They were surprised, as was I, that the Shell Beach improvement is not in the capital improvements budget. This budget is a fiscal plan of your priorities for our city. This plan shows that Shell Beach improvement is not on your priority list. It's blank, nothing, for 2 years. Yes, you have shown support. You've kept the previous commitment of $20,000 for street design, and you've commissioned citizens to study and recommend a plan to council. But to be serious in your commitments, if you're really planning a major expenditure in the near future, as any budgeter knows, you've got to start setting aside money now. As an example, if previous councils had set aside $62,000 a year at 5% interest. That's for the dozen years when I first joined the earlier Shell Beach Beautification Committee. We'd have today $1 million. We have nothing and no prospect by this budget for 2 years. Any improvement will cost money, a significant amount of money. And if you start to set aside a little now, the bite won't be so painful in the future. You won't have to raid somebody else's project money, as has happened in the past. This budget is virtually set in stone now. You all recognize this. But if you see any wisdom in this request, you can do four things to fiscally show your support and commitment to 47% of Pismo Beach. First, amend the capital improvements budget to include a line item labeled something like Shell Beach Improvements. Second, actually put token funds into it as set aside funds this year. Third, to show your commitment, will you specifically direct staff to actively seek outside funding for improvements? In today's paper, there's an article on the beautification for $1 million grant for Highway 1, and they did undergrounding of utilities. It's a good little article to read. And fourth, at the mid-year budget review, resolve to treat this item as a priority and add eligible funds to it if available. We don't want this energetic committee to fail for lack of financial support or commitment by council. Please consider this request to add Shell Beach improvements to your fiscal priorities today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? This is the three budgets that are under discussion. Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. I just want to make one comment to Mary Lee, I guess, in response. I think we're looking at this year very conservatively because we're not sure totally what's going to happen. And I think we want to see what will come out of that committee. And based on that, we do have opportunities along the way to budget some funds. But I think we're being very conservative this first year.
I think we are. And we don't know exactly what Sacramento is going to do, if they're going to live up to what they said they're going to.
Already, for looking for grants, as we have for the promenades and the parks. So I want to state to council that that does occur and it is an ongoing part of our operation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bloom. I was referring to what Mary Lee Hyman stated that was in the paper today. So she said she read it in the paper, so I just want to make sure that it was on our radar, that whatever she was speaking about.
Okay, is there any other comment or questions from the council? If there isn't, I'll entertain a motion. And this would be on all three items, A, B, and C.
A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. Okay. I move to adopt the resolution approving the biannual budget for 2006 and 2007 fiscal years, becoming effective July 1, 2005 through June 30, 2007 for the Pismo Beach and its agencies.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve all three budgets by resolution.
Mayor Pro Tem, Board Member Gonzalez-G.
Yes.
Council Member, Board Member Higginbotham.
Yes.
Mayor, Chairwoman Reese?
Yes.
I'm sorry. That's okay. It's hard to combine those.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Passes 3-0-2. Thank you.
Okay. We have, let's see, I guess we, at this point I can adjourn the Public Financing Authority and the Public Facilities Corporation joint meeting. Okay. And then we'll go to item 6C.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6C is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach adopting an appropriations limit. This is required by California law and is commonly known as the GAN limit. George Eads will talk to you a little bit more in detail about this GAN limit and what it actually does.
All Thank you, Mr. Rice, Madam Mayor and Council. The GAN limit, in essence, is intended to keep cities from raising its taxes too quickly and sets a limit on how much the appropriations can be increased from one year to the next. These limits, these increases are allowed on the basis of per capita income and population change. The calculations are shown as part of the attachment to the resolution for this item. In short, the city of Pismo Beach has considerable room, as in several millions of dollars room in its GAN limit. So approving the GAN limit calculations puts no meaningful restrictions on the city of Pismo Beach.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions or comments from the council at this point?
I have none, Madam Mayor.
No, okay. Thank you. With that, I will go to the public. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council, and if there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to adopt the resolution setting 2005-2006 appropriation limit.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-Gee?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 3-0-2. Thank you.
Okay, at this point, I will adjourn the city council meeting and reconvene as the redevelopment agency. Item 6D, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6D is a resolution adopting a biannual budget for our redevelopment agency for the fiscal years July 1, 2005 through June 30th, 2007. George Eads will give you an introduction of this.
Mr. Rice, Madam and Council Members, Madam Mayor, the RDA budgets for the 2 years show projected revenues at just over $405,000 per year, and expenditure budgets $376,000 and some change in fiscal 06, $379,000 in 07. Pretty straightforward budget. There's also low mod housing expenditures that are appropriated from the redevelopment low and moderate housing income housing fund for the 2 years as part of this budget.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions or comments from the City Council?
Not at this time, thank you.
Do you have any questions?
I have none.
Okay. I will go to the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to comment about this item, and this has to do with the redevelopment agency? Seeing none, I will come back to the council. If there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to adopt a resolution of the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach approving the 2005-2006 appropriation limit for this.
What exactly we're doing with this money?
Tonight is a request for council to appropriate $156,000 from the redevelopment housing set aside fund to the community development planning division's professional services account. To give you an overview, as of June 30, 2003, the city has $1,155,347 accumulated in the redevelopment housing set aside fund. This fund was established with the formation of the redevelopment district, and for all those people that aren't sure where the redevelopment district is, it's basically the Five Cities Drive area, the outlets and the Scolari Center in that influence. It's not downtown, and so I wanted to make that clear because we've always had a lot of questions, where is it at? Mm-hmm. The state law requires that once you accumulate $1 million in a housing set-aside account, you have 3 years to spend the excess money over that, or you have to forward that money to the nearest local housing authority, which would be county housing authority or another housing authority. The council could have the choice. Staff is requesting that this amount in excess above the $1 million be encumbered into account to investigate housing feasibilities in some private sites and some city-owned sites. And the two primary city-owned sites is the city owns some property along Ocean Boulevard across the creek, Pismo Creek, from the treatment plant. and the city has an acre site that the city purchased on 4th Street as you go towards Grover Beach, adjacent to the Eco Preserve area. And that piece of property was purchased by the city with a $300,000 grant several years ago. Staff would like to use some of this money to take a look at a feasibility study to see if housing project, an affordable housing project, could work out on those two sites, and if private sites come up to see if it would be feasible. This, by passing this resolution, would retain this money in the city, in the community, without us losing that money. And that's kind of a summary of the report. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any members of the
council? I just wanted to make a comment that at the budget session, the site evaluation just named two sites, right. Two city sites. Right. But on the staff report, it also said there's a few privately owned parcels,
right,
that could be evaluated as well.
That's
okay.
True.
Okay.
So you have some in mind?
We had looked at one site, and we're still investigating it. But there's some site contamination on it, and when you add that complication layer in an affordable housing site, it becomes really difficult. So, but we wanted to. The main reason is we want to investigate the two city sites. We want to keep the money in the community so we can utilize it for soft costs.
The only thing, item number two, if we look at the property where the Eco Reserve is located, we have to then pay back that grant money. Is that correct?
Well. Not necessarily. I think there's some options there. I think that we can investigate having both a trailhead and an affordable housing site. It may be a case that, let's say, we received approximately $50,000 from the Coastal Conservancy. It may be a case that we can tell the Coastal Conservancy that we'll replace that $50,000, but can we keep that $50,000 in the community and move it over to a beach staircase project? Because it fits the criteria of trails and that. So I'm not of the mindset that we have only one option, that we have to return the grant money and then the grant agencies will be upset. Because I think there's some options there that we can discuss it with the granting agencies to move those money.
Are we abandoning the thought of having a trail or an overlook?
No, we're not abandoning that at all. I think there's some variable options. I think that there's enough options that we should pursue and take a look at, because over the last 3 or 4 years, few of the council members have talked about that site for an affordable housing site, and several members of the community have come before council and staff and asked for an investigation. I think it's worth investigating the best of both worlds on that.
I know, Mr. Bloom, I spoke with you at length on this, but I couldn't remember if it was at the budget session or at a meeting that you talked about that, and you had some excellent ideas.
We've discussed that at several different private meetings and council meetings.
Mm-hmm. It's so I get confused
on what
we've
never had the money to really kind of pursue it, and then we saw this opportunity to save money in the community, so we thought, well, this is a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Madam Mayor and Council, if I could, I don't want to try and put words in your mouth.
An idea of a previous mayor for the old City Hall, and that was to have a senior housing project there run by a management agency, giving Pismo Beach a different and reliable revenue stream from rent. Did you consider this when you were looking at public properties, or is this truly dead and gone as an idea?
I'm going to answer this broadly. I think we haven't really totally made the decision what we want to do with that site, and it will be on a future agenda for discussion. And then I think the council will
I'm not asking you make a decision of it, but that you're setting aside money to study the possibility, and could that be incorporated in this as an idea, or have you already looked and, say, rejected it already?
We haven't rejected it.
No, this money could be used for that option of exploring an affordable housing site and any piece of property in town or an existing building or whatever.
You're not restricting it to just the two?
I'm not. No, oh, no. This isn't just concern. Restricting it to the, those two
point.
Sites.
Thank you.
What it does is it's saving that money and keeping it in the community, mm-hmm. and also looking at the two sites.
Thank you. It was a good point.
Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, Art Anthony.
But you didn't catch on.
When I first got to Pismo, I was amazed at how rumors get around this town, how quickly, and how wrong they are most of the time. There's a lot of rumors running around about where the affordable housing sites are going to be. NIMBY? Huh?
Right.
We know about that. I have a very strong suggestion that when you start talking about other than those two public sites, which are for everybody to know about, that you let everybody know what
Absolutely.
Sites you're considering as soon as you start considering them. Don't let it get a nasty tone to it before the decision time comes. You'll save yourselves a lot of calls, and you will probably save the city manager. He won't get gray quite so soon. If you can do this. I think it's a really good idea to be absolutely out open
up front.
About this
mm-hmm.
whole thing.
I agree. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For that comment. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Thank you very much. I'll come back to the council. Is there any other comments or questions from the council regarding this item?
I have none, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Did you have any?
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay. All right. With that, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to adopt a resolution appropriating $156,000 from the Redevelopment Agency Housing set-aside funds to the Community Development Department Planning Division Professional Services account for investigation of affordable housing sites in the entire city.
I'll second.
Thank you. Thank we have you. A motion and a second on the floor.
Board Member Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
Board Member Higginbotham?
Yes.
Chairwoman Reese?
Yes.
Passes 302. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'll adjourn the Redevelopment Agency meeting and reconvene to the City Council meeting. Item 6F.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6F is a reconsideration of at what time the City Council should hold these meetings. If we think back over a year ago, the City Council meetings were being held at 6:30 p.m. on the first and third Tuesday of every month, and then the Council decided that they wanted to go ahead and see if get some more attendance from certain citizens, and we went to an alternate meeting time where we did a meeting on one of the Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m., and then one of the other alternating Tuesdays we did at 3 p.m., We tried that out for a while, 6 months. And then the council decided back on December 21st of 2004 that we would move to the present meeting time of 4:30 p.m. on both the first and third Tuesday of the month. And you told the staff at that time to bring this back in 6 months and that you could decide whether you're satisfied with the present meeting times or not. So we are doing that. We're bringing it back to you for your consideration. You can just leave it at, you don't need a new resolution. The resolution that you passed in December of 2004 is in effect, which would continue the meeting times at 4:30 p.m., the first Tuesday and the third Tuesday of every month, or you could tonight decide to change that.
Well, I'm going to open up discussion a little. We don't have a full council. Do we want to wait and have further discussion on this when everyone's here? Or do you want to just go ahead and discuss it and open it up to the public?
Yeah, I think it really counts what the public thinks.
Okay. Is there any comment, though?
Satisfactory. Just direct us, and we'll bring it back for your review.
Okay. Thank you very much. We're at the end of our items. City Manager's report, please.
Madam Mayor and Council, I'd just like to, again, congratulate you all for the decision you made on the car show back in December of 2004. And to move forward with a new promoter. I think you heard tonight that you made an excellent decision. I know, just as you all do, that it was under tremendous pressure, but I congratulate you for having the fortitude to move to move forward and get a new promoter. And that new promoter, I would also like to thank him or them, Mr. Mike Madden and Mr. Les Davidson, because they not only did everything they promised you all that they would do, they actually did more. And I think you heard some of that tonight. So it was an excellent show. I'd also like to acknowledge and Mr. John Garrett and his streets crew, who kept the city looking really spiffy. I spent a number of hours on Saturday walking the streets and looking at the cars, and the place looked great. And so thank you to John Garrett. I'd like to thank Scott Smith and all of the police that did so much, directing traffic, shutting down streets, doing the timing, all of that. They also did just a superb job. And Scott and John sit on a committee, the Special Events Committee of the city, which Lori Grigsby, our city clerk, runs and is the head of. And Lori has been working on the car show for 4 months, 4 months before the event came off. And there's a lot of negotiating and back and forth with the promoters. And so I'd like to publicly thank her for a great job that she did also. And also, of course, firefighters who did such a great job down at the show in the Hot Rod Bar and Grill and the pancake breakfast. I think it was just an excellent show for the whole city. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next item on our agenda is City Attorney's Report. Is there anything?
No.
Okay, thank you. Council Subcommittee Reports. Does anyone have anything to report?
Too many closed sessions. I haven't been to any.
Yeah. So you don't have anything?
I didn't go to any meeting either.
Okay. Okay, the next item is our pulled consent items, and we will move to 4G. Mr. City Manager?
Madam Mayor and Council, item 4G is a resolution of the City Council to dissolve the Matty Road Spyglass Drive Shell Beach Road Reimbursement Agreement, which was to construct a traffic signal and some intersection improvements. And I'd like to ask Dennis Delzite to tell us a little bit more about this specific agenda item.
Brian Duncan, our associate civil engineer, has worked on this project, and he's prepared to give the council a brief overview of the staff recommendation.
Okay.
Thank you for the opportunity to present the report. This is a project this project was specified as a development for Tract 1857, which is Dolphin Bay. It was to install a new brand new traffic signal and to do intersection improvements for the off ramp at Shell Beach Road in the southbound lane. Mr. Rick Lawhead originally had Summer Meyer and Associates. I've got Exhibit A shown in here. Summer Meyer and Summer Meyer prepared a report that specified that the improvements would be needed for the anticipated growth of the area, particularly from Dolphin Bay and the Matty Road annexation area. What's basically happened is the development has not occurred the way that they anticipated back in 1990. 15 years later now, Summer Meyer and Summer Meyer estimates a 45% drop in the traffic impacts at that intersection. And basically, putting a traffic signal would not be warranted by Caltrans standards, and it is recommended not to be put in. And the off-ramp improvements have been specifically shown to Caltrans by Mr. Delzite and myself, and they recommend not doing any improvements on that or any changes to that existing off-ramp coming from the freeway onto Spyglass going southbound. We have a letter in here under Exhibit B, which is from Julie Gonzalez. This is the traffic engineer for the state of California. She's the senior traffic engineer for the entire five-county area of District 5. She recommends that signalization would have a negative impact on.
Okay, I had a couple of comments. I met with the city manager today, and he addressed most of my concerns. But when there's a, so you're telling me that when the report was done, it has dropped 45% from what the initial study was. The traffic has dropped 45%. Is that what you?
No, the build out is 45% less than what they were anticipating. They had certain numbers of cars that they were expecting to be showing up at that intersection by the time that Dolphin Bay was built, and they're not proving out. And it's primarily because the properties in Matty Road annexation were a much denser configuration. There were a lot of condominium projects, and most everything up in this area have turned into single family.
I'm certainly not the expert on that. However, a study done in 1992, the traffic certainly has increased a lot. And I do have respect for the letter from Julie Gonzalez, and she's stating that by putting a signal there, we would be similar to the northbound Route 101 ramps at Briscoe and West Branch. We don't want to create that. However, I just wanted to pull this because I wanted to be sure. This is very important to be on the consent agenda. And I wanted to be sure. And I didn't, the reimbursement, as far as the reimbursement for Mr. Lawhead, the developer, if you could kind of give me a scenario of what the reimbursement agreement was. It doesn't state here exactly what that is.
The reimbursement agreement was written in 1996. It was to cover the anticipated cost for the signalization in 92 was $175,000, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be incurred by the developer of Dolphin Bay. Part of the traffic loading that was for new development that was not done at that time was in the Matty Road annexation area. As Matty Road annexation area developed, it came in much less dense than it was before. The amount that is in the reimbursement agreement right now is approximately about $300,000. And it's from impounded fees from the different developments that have come in to the city since 1996. And this is a recommendation to dissolve that reimbursement agreement and refund that money to those developers, because this traffic signal that this was based on can't be built, or we would recommend it shouldn't be built.
Okay, so then the developer would get a credit of $175,000 or $300,000, which was it?
No, the developer would receive a credit, and they would not have to do the signalization at that intersection.
Okay.
And they would not have to do the off-ramp improvements at the off-ramp of southbound off-ramp off of 101.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan.
Uh-huh. So those were two separate projects in the light and improvements in the off-ramp?
They were two separate projects, but they were all conditioned as a part of Tract 1857. They had to be built for the final acceptance of the tract, which is, you know, the acceptance for Dolphin Bay.
Gotcha. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess I kind of stopped on this item myself and tried to evaluate it because it's an intersection I use a lot. And the traffic studies are old. Mm-hmm. But and we're saying that there's less density than we expected at the time the traffic studies were done. But are we premature before we really see what happens? Dolphin Bay is just going in. Mm-hmm. Could be an opportunity in a minute. You know, we're not really seeing the results of any traffic from that project at this point.
That's correct. I mean, there's no traffic being generated from Dolphin Bay other than construction traffic right now. It's anticipated that the amount of traffic that would be coming from Dolphin Bay would not impact the intersection to a point where a signal would be warranted. And it's not recommended to ever put in a signal that's not warranted. It just causes frustration. It's extra expense to the city and the developer. And it is just wasted money, primarily.
Okay, but I guess my point is that is there any reason why you can't keep the funding for a few years longer and to see what happens? And then
that's what I would
and then if because I don't want a Briscoe Road either. So, you know, I really debated with myself. It's moving okay, and so I really don't want a traffic signal. It's probably easier to stop at a stop sign and move along. But I guess I'm wondering.
One of the reasons for not just giving it back is the way development impact fees work is that you can only make the developers pay for their incremental cost. So if they're adding 10% of the reason for having a signal where you decide you need a signal, you can only actually make them pay 10% of the cost of putting that signal in.
Right.
And so the reimbursement agreement is if they pay for the entire cost, then you have to pay to in order to get their project done. You have to have a reimbursement agreement in place to repay from future people the portion that they paid that was not caused by themselves. So that's why it was done with a reimbursement agreement, I'm sure, is that they were paying more than their impact in order to get the project moving along.
Okay, thank you. I'll open this to the public, and I know that Rick wants to address this item.
Madam Chair and fellow council persons, my name is Richard Lawhead. This dates back, predates everyone here. And its roots, the study was actually done in 1986 and 1987, showed this tremendous amount of traffic. And where this came from is that they projected all of the build-out on Matty Road to be about double of what occurred, including Dolphin Bay, which then was the hallmark, which was almost 200 rooms. Dolphin Bay is only 70 rooms. So about, I'm not going to go into a lot of history, but quite some time ago, the city council, they had to renew my letter of credit on Dolphin Bay. And at that time, they thought they'd be clever, the council did, and they said, go ahead and do all the improvements. Well, the city engineer quickly found out that we couldn't put in the signal because they couldn't get clearance from Caltrans. So then the council said, well, we'll just keep the bonds on then and wait. So quite some time ago, I think we began talking about this, and the city, being prudent, said, well, we're going to have to do some more studies to make sure that the traffic signal is not warranted. And so the studies that were done in 86 and 87 said that all this traffic was going to be there. By the way, I didn't select that traffic engineer. That was selected by the city for the EIR. So what the city did was then hire the same engineer and say, what gives? Why isn't the traffic here? And it was fairly simple. They looked at the projects that had been built and developed. They looked at what happened down on Shell Beach Road. And they did the counts and everything. And what was vacant there, even it was filled out, and said, well, it's not going to be warranted, and you can't reach that level because Matty Road is a closed-loop road. And the majority of it has been built out at 45% of what was anticipated. And that's how they came to this traffic conclusion. Then the city went a little step further, and they required me to do a count or something. I don't know what it's called. You guys know what it is. And so they did that count, and then after they checked the count, then they had to work with Caltrans. And that took roughly, I guess, about a year and a half dealing with Caltrans. And so we knew that it couldn't be installed way back when, but it's taken this long to get here. And what's at hand here is that I'm holding a bond to put in the signal. And as your attorney pointed out, I'd say execute the bond, put in the signal. But I know you can't because it's not needed. It's an item that hasn't gelled to what was anticipated and isn't going to.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions?
I'm not seeing any. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor, Honorable Counsel Art Anthony, I was around here, Rick, when that thing first came up. I don't remember much about that part of it, except that the area along Matty Road inland of the freeway was going to be more like a traditional development with single-family homes, with people going to work at 9 or 8 and coming home at 5. Well, guess what? It hasn't turned out that way at all. Not only do you have the 45% reduction in traffic, you have people living in these homes along Matty Road and those who will probably occupy Dolphin Bay who are not workforce housing. They won't be going to work at the same time every day and requiring a signalization because they all meet there. They're spread now. Traffic engineers are going crazy now trying to figure us all out because we work at home on our computers, some of us. Some of us are totally retired and only go play golf or go to lunch or whatever. The cost of housing here has dictated who these folks will be.
The Shell Beach business group and residents, this item came up also, and everyone there said they couldn't see a traffic signal working there. When I first came to the area 14 years ago and heard of the proposed traffic light at that intersection, I thought, good, we'll have more people, we'll have it controlled. But having lived with it and seeing how we've all developed in the time, why are we holding this person hostage? We don't really need to. There is a problem with the intersection, as you all know and use it, in that there's a confusing two left turns. Yeah. As you leave from here and go to Shell Beach, you have one going onto the freeway and another going onto Shell Beach Road. I don't know. You'd have to redesign the intersection, but not necessarily with a light. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I noticed somebody just came in that wants to speak to this item. He rushed right
over. Yes, I was having dinner and watching the show, and so I thought I'd come over and talk a little bit about this item. I'm Joe Crescioni. I live over here in Costa Brava, and I use that intersection practically every day, 3-4 times a day. And so I'm very aware of what the potential possibilities are future, maybe 40, 50 years from now. So really what I'm really saying is the fact that the housing has been reduced considerably from what it was originally considered. And watching traffic and knowing what would happen if we did place a traffic light at that intersection, you're immediately placing a tremendous burden on Caltrans because they would have to extend their off-ramp. Because if you have a traffic light at that intersection, that traffic would immediately impact the freeway itself. The way it works right now, it works quite well because you stop and you simply move along in the normal process, but if you have a traffic signal, it will in fact stop and hold traffic back. The other problem that I see right now is I'm sure that the developer would be more than happy to put in a traffic signal. The problem is, does the city have the money to reimburse him for what the additional cost is of what he doesn't have to pay for? And I'm assuming it'll be at least another $200,000 that has to come out of the city coffers. And I doubt very much if that's here right now. So consequently, the right thing to do is to simply let it go and leave it alone because it's working. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the council.
I had one comment. This was on the consent agenda, and I thought that it really did need discussion. I thought questions needed to be answered. The study was old. That was a concern to the council. Anytime there's reimbursement, that's always a concern. So I just think it was the prudent thing to do to pull it and have discussion. And with that, if you're ready for a motion,
okay.
I move to adopt the resolution to dissolve the Matty Road Spyglass Drive Shell Beach Road signal and intersection improvement fee reimbursement agreement.
And I'll second that.
Thank you.
We have a motion and second on the floor. Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
passes 3-0-2.
Thank you.
With that, that's our last item on the agenda. This meeting's adjourned.
Okay.